Yes.
Accession number 31467, Mr. Tom Handley, Reel 7. Now, before we go on, while we just had a break, you told me an amusing story of how you came, you possibly should have been posted to Coastal Command. Can you tell that story on tape?
The only way they could think of to keep our papers with us safely was to give our papers to us, which we carried with care across the Atlantic back home. During which time, everybody had unsealed their envelope and read the account of our training so far, which in my case said I'd be suitable for Coastal Command. Well, I didn't like the idea, so with some gentle rubbing of the finger and a pen, Coastal became Fighter Command, and sure enough, I was posted to fighters.
And that worked.
It worked.
Now, the other story you told me was about beating up your brother's factory. Tell us that story.
Yeah.
That was a good story as well.
My brother was an engineer, and he was approached by Westland Aircraft Company to make a machine that would make retractable tail wheels for a new aircraft called the Whirlwind. This was some time before the war. So he designed and built a machine, which he took to Westlands, and they were delighted with it, and ordered half a dozen more, which in my brother's factory meant plenty of work for them. He didn't mention the aircraft anymore. Now, there's only two squadrons of Whirlwinds. One was at Warmwell, that was us, and the other was 137 Squadron at Southend. They re-equipped with Hurricane 4s, so all their Whirlwinds came to us at Warmwell, except for one, which was having an engine change at the time. When it was ready, the opportunity came for me to have a weekend at home in Romford with my parents, and then go on to Southend, pick up the aeroplane and fly home. So my brother was there when I was at home. I said, I'll see you in the morning. And in the morning I went to Southend, picked up the aeroplane, flew down the Southend Arterial Road and picked out his factory and gave him a very good beating up. In the evening, when my brother went to Home Guard exercises, the weather was inclement, so they had their meeting in the village pub, and he was surprised to hear about that little varmint this morning nearly took off my chimney pots, and various other remarks. So he didn't tell anybody about it being his brother.
Now, just to get back into the story we got when you were at Harrowbeer. Now, there's quite a lot that happens here.
Yes.
I believe. There's also, I think you've got a page missing from your manual somewhere around this time as well. I'm not quite
sure. Yes.
And that's where it is. Yes, April.
Yes.
So I can't particularly give you clues in on this. What do you remember happening? There's one where you shoot up a Heinkel 3 on the ground. You get some damage claim for that. And another time you shoot down an ME-410, I think it is.
Yes.
And there's probably a story to that. I don't know what date that is, though, because it's missing. It's in April from the looks of it. Now, what do you remember of these raids, if you could tell us?
That second one, where I actually shot down a German, we were on an operational sweep, as described before, to try and catch somebody air testing the German planes. We were fortunate enough, from our point of view, to come across a Dornier 217, it was, being tested, and suddenly he found himself with typhoons on his tail, including mine, and I shot it. I was certainly instrumental in shooting it down. I don't know if I can claim it as a clean kill, but I had a piece of metal stuck in the leading edge of my aircraft, which I kept for years, but then after all it was just a bit of bent metal, wasn't very showy. And he crashed into a field all across, I can remember now, the carefully ploughed lines of a man with a horse. And it really messed up his day. But he had the sense to stop his doing and go and hold his horse's head.
And this was a Dornier 217.
Dornier 217.
Sorry, the ME 410 was shot down by a friend of yours, Johnny Thauld, I think, from the looks of it.
Johnny Thauld, yes.
Thauld. Now, when you hit the aircraft, what could you see when you hit an aircraft like that?
Sparks. Sparks, if you hit air-to-air firing, sparks, and you don't know what damage they're doing inside, but they did considerable damage, these bullets.
And this bit flew off it and got stuck into your aircraft then?
Yes. Probably off the rear turret.
You must have been pretty close then.
Yes. Well, the tailplane was is a split tailplane like that. That was outside the range of the camera. The camera was that like that, and the split tail was outside the range of the camera.
You were that close.
So I was, within 50 yards. Too close for comfort, really, if bits are going to fly off, because you could damage your own plane. Anyway, he went down and crashed in a ploughed field.
Now, he also fired at some soldiers.
Oh, yes, I saw some Padgham soldiers. I don't know what they were doing, but they tried to scatter into... I think I wasn't aiming at the soldiers, I was aiming at their truck. So I found a better target. And it was all, we get a lot of things happening in just the one trip. Another time you go on for weeks and not see a thing.
You also shot up a Heinkel 3 on the runway, or on the ground, I presume.
Oh, yes.
Well, that was the same raid, was it?
That was the same raid, yes. I happened to spot this German plane on the ground directly to my starboard side, and I was on the starboard end of the formation. So I banked quickly and started firing at once at this Heinkel on the ground, and then made rather a good film, which the authorities used as "don't be afraid to shoot and get in close" idea.
How much of it did you hit? I mean, what sort of damage?
It was straddled from end to end with strikes. I didn't stop to examine anything. We were too busy.
Now, do you know, this is April. I can tell that from the thing, but I can't see. Do you know the date this was on?
Not precisely, no.
But just April, 44.
I think so. I've possibly got another book somewhere.
It's all right. Well, it should be in this one, but there's a page missing. Yes. Somebody took. Any other raids you remember? You seem to have been very busy, as you said, at Harrowby.
Yeah. Well, we used to go off and fly from a small airfield at Bolt Head.
Was that an advanced?
And that was right on the edge. You don't forget Bolt Head if you've ever taken off from there, because you took off and dived, because it was on the top of a 300-foot cliff, and you wanted to be close to the water so the Germans couldn't detect us.
And that was an advanced base, was it?
Yes. I'll show you.
A dodgy thing to do.
Oh,
the takeoff.
Yes. Very unusual thing.
Now, there's a bombing of St. Malo.
St. Malo, yes.
St. Malo, yeah.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. We used to often go past St. Malo, and there was a tall ship in there that had been there for years. Until somebody one day got fed up with looking at this wooden ship and put a flight of rockets into it.
Had you got rockets by then?
Yes.
When did you get rockets?
Oh, I don't know. Sometime during that.
Tell me about the rockets. What difference did the equipment make? Did you still have the cannons and the rockets?
The cannons are built into the aircraft. Bombs and long-range tanks, they clip under the wings. Rockets were attached to the wings. Their rails were attached to the wings. And then slung on. Now, it was a different technique there was a different technique in rocketing from bombing. You had to get, for rockets, you get in as close as possible from low level and then fire.
Which was easier?
I think the rocketing. You could actually see the very target you were hoping to destroy.
What was it like when they fired? I mean,
it was just a great whoosh, almost a bang whoosh, a bang and then a whoosh, you know, which disappeared quite quickly.
So the bombs were for dive bombing the rockets.
Yes, that's right.
But both the ground operators. Now, there's just asking you about the various things in your thing. There's a low-level attack on minesweepers. Do you remember that? That's the 21st of May, German.
Yes.
Off St. Malo. So.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Does it say something about Tinkerbell?
Yes. I don't know. Bags of flak. Tinkerbell, a flamer. Tell me about that. What happened on that day then?
We were heading for St. Malo at Nortfleet, and suddenly four or five ships appeared on the horizon. I attacked from head on. We were carrying small bombs. Attacked from that, and what I saw of the action, I attacked head on and then broke off to the left. As I did so, the Typhoon in front of me was suddenly enveloped in flame and turned upside down and into the water. And that turned out to be flying off as a bell. I'm afraid.
He was killed.
Oh, yes. I don't know what on earth happened, but the whole place, suddenly a great burst of fire. The whole thing was on fire. It turned over and went into the sea as quicker than you can say it.
And any impact on the minesweeper you're firing? I mean,
yes, we found out afterwards we'd sunk two of them and damaged the third.
Now another is dive bombing ships at Les Ardrues. Oh, you remember that?
No, I don't particularly.
You go to St. Malo a lot, don't you? The roadstead.
Yes, that's right.
Anything to do with the invasion? Because you don't seem to have anything down for the 6th of June.
No.
That's
the damning thing. We're fully operational, very busy squadron. And then on the invasion day, we couldn't see the sides of the runway, let alone its length. We were completely fog-bound. So we couldn't take off at all.
You were meant to, then?
Oh, yes. What did you do on the invasion day, Daddy? Answer, played cards. And steamed. What expect?
Now, but then you do get into action a lot, and you're flying three missions on the 7th, and then it seems to be there's air tests and missions all over the place, two or three a day, even four on one. Now, what do you remember of the? There's lots of attacks on the roadster at St. Malo, ramrods. And
that's another name for ramrods. I think they had someone thinking up funny names, were they? With the different types of air. But what it amounted to in each case, as far as we were concerned, was getting into your aeroplane, you've got your target, and going and trying to deal with it. Whatever they name they call it.
So to you it didn't matter?
No. Whether it was a ramrod, a roadster, or whatever.
Now, what do you remember of this period? Anything that come to mind in those raids? Off Mania St. Malo, there's an attack on the railway here. It says first time RP, so that might be rockets, but I don't know what RP means. What do you remember anything?
Rocket propel.
Could be.
This might be. It
just says RP. Anything about these raids in June you remember? Because you were very busy. A lot of it seems to be on shipping.
Not to be. Is there no mention of St. Petersburg?
Not on that page, no. That may be later. There's attack ships northwest of Jersey, attack ships southwest of Jersey, two hit, one burning. Shipping strike, and that could be it. But
no.
Not on this page. And then it's Ramrod. Do you want to tell us about the Peter's Head?
Is it St. Peter's Port.
St. Peter's Port.
St. Peter Port.
Right, tell us about that then.
A submarine, a damaged submarine, had entered the port during the night, and we went out in the morning.
And is that Jersey? Where is that?
Guernsey.
Guernsey, right.
And we flew over there in the morning. Now, I remember distinctly this was at Harrowby. Or was it Bald Head? I can't remember. One of those two. I think we used to do a week at a time.
And I've got it now. It's the 14th of June. So,
14th of June, was it?
Looks like, well, that's when you attacked St. Petersburg. I've just found it.
And we had rockets, which we positioned ourselves and attacked the submarine, which we could see in the harbour. And we released, just released my rockets when there was a terrific bang, and the left wing of my aircraft was covered in fuel. I continued the dive, but turned away and drove and went on diving till I reached the sea. Then levelled off and went on a big loop round so I was facing homewards. I took quick stock, and the flak had hit the aircraft and made a hole in the tank, which then emptied itself. Fortunately, no fire. And I struggled back home because I hadn't really got enough fuel in the wing tanks. But I managed it, and I was landing very short on the runway, and I said earlier on tonight, you're supposed to land in the first third of the runway. Round the edge of the field, there was a taxi rank, taxiway. I think I landed on the first third of the taxiway, and I ground to a halt so short, I had to taxi on for another 2 or 3 minutes to get to the end of the runway, which I did, and I just said, runway clear, so the others could land. Later on, we found that the offending missile had blown a hole in the leading edge of the Typhoon, and it was very, very much a matter of luck, that was.
You could easily have set fire to it.
Yes. It didn't set fire. You might like to make a note that it didn't set fire because it went into a full tank of petrol. Had it gone into a partially full tank of petrol, the vapour would have caught fire. And it meant, when I got back home, I was told it needed a wing change.
Now, that's the end of that logbook. Now, any other incidents you recall? I mean, it all seems a bit packed with incident, this period. I mean, as you say, these code names mean very little to you now, but all these ramrods and things. Ramrods are just low-flying strafing.
Low-flying ground attack. If it's from B3, is that?
Eastchurch to B3. You go to Normandy, do you?
Yes.
Now tell me. Well, let's go on to that. So when you go to Normandy on the 7th of August?
Yes.
And where is B3?
It's a primitive drone which they made by knocking down hedges and things like that. And we were all in tents.
But where was it near? Do you know where it was near? It might be in the back.
Yes, it might be in the back.
No, it didn't say. It's B3, it just says France. But it's in Normandy.
It's in Normandy, yes. Not far from the coast. Of course, the early...
So can you describe what the airfield was like? I mean...
Well, you could just about make out that it was an airfield by the fact that there was nothing in the way. Everything had been cleared away. And where the ground was a bit uncertain, they'd put down a certain metal substance like a... got a lot of holes in it. I can't remember what it was called. A lot of holes, so that it was partly earth and partly metal you were driving on.
Now tell me about the ramrod roads, because this is low-flying ground strafing, isn't it?
Yes, ground strafing. And it was in support of the retreating German armies, the Falaise Gap.
Now what do you remember of that? Because that was quite a dramatic thing, the fighting there.
Yeah. It was, because you could go up and almost pick your targets at will. In particular, you would try and get the columns of tanks and railways carrying ammunition and other supplies up to the front if we went a bit further in. And you'd aim to get one pair of rockets underneath the engine pulling it. And then you could take your time over blowing up the rest until you haven't got any ammunition left. Then home.
I mean, how much firing time would you have?
11 seconds if you fired the whole lot at once. You press the button and it would fire for 11 seconds.
That's the cannons.
That's the cannons.
And of course, and the rockets are a one-off.
Just one off, yes, they had terrific destructive power. But by the time they reached their target, they were doing between 700 and 1,000 miles an hour.
So what would you see, or would you have gone past by the time they hit? What would you see of the explosion of the rockets or the impact? Or would you have gone past?
You'd have gone past your rockets, but you could see other people's.
Were you attacking tanks? Because the Typhoons are often used to hit tanks. So
yes.
You know, did you do that, any of that?
Yes.
What do you remember of that?
Well, as I say, you press the button for one pair of rockets, or you can move a switch and press a button so that they all eight went at once. But for those particular attacks, we had them on singles, so you'd fire one. Then reposition yourself and go and fire some more.
Was it easy to hit a tank? It's quite a small target.
Yes, it is quite a small target.
But could you hit them?
You could. If you didn't hit them, you could get very, very close to them. Best is from behind. Is best. From the best. That was the best position to attack the tank, because it's not armoured from at the back. We used to do one attack which, for some reason, was called winkling.
What does that mean?
It meant to say that if the Germans were entrenched down a road, we used to overfly it and come back and go the same way as the Germans were, facing our lines. But we used to attack anything that moved on that road, or anything that was stationary, like an unfortunate barn where they could be hidden up. And we used to attack them mostly with cannons. And the army used to think that was a good idea, because, as I say, they didn't armour their armoured cars or anything from the back. So comparatively soft.
Now, the other thing is you're promoted to warrant officer on, yes. well, round about September the 1st. What difference did that make? What do you remember that?
It meant that you got rid of all the badges down your arms, except for a space there, which is when you had that great crest. And it was the highest non-commissioned rank. What does it make, about 6 words a day?
You've got about 10 exclamation marks after, more than 10 exclamation marks after. So you were obviously pleased, though.
Oh, very pleased.
And the other, there's lots of ramrods. There's one where you have an armed reconnaissance of V2 sites.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, well, it may be V1 and V2. Anyway, V sites in the Schuon area. Do you remember that?
Yes, largely a lot of nothing. That was, we went looking for them, but I don't think we were in the right area.
So that didn't work out?
No.
Now, you moved to Brussels the 29th of September. Is that how you remember?
Brussels?
Yeah. Oh, no, moved to Brussels, then from Brussels. Sorry, that's the trouble with reading these things. So, then Antwerp, Lille.
Oh, Lille first. Lille first, yes.
Are you based at Lille then for a while?
We were based at Lille. Lille Vandeville.
You seem to go there in October.
Yes. And that was when the pipeline under the ocean got bunged up or something, and the 8th Air Force then filled itself up with not aviation spirit but ordinary tank spirit, and they flew it into our aerodrome, and we spent about an hour and a half watching one plane after another land, Liberators and Fortresses. And they were landing great quantities of fuel.
For you to use?
For us to use, but also for a lot of other people to use as well.
Now then, there's loads more ramrods when you're based at Lille. It's in the book it says it's number B-51 airfield.
Oh, yeah.
Lille. Now, what do you remember of these? These are in close support again.
Close support again, yes.
One of them has a note, 42 Huns killed. So low-level flying, and do you remember any of this?
Well, it's a follow-up, the same sort of thing that we did from P3. It's just that the front is moving away from us all the time. And we had to keep up, so the base had to move up. And the base went to Lille, and then we moved on to Antwerp, which had a concrete runway.
Now, that's a bit later, though, isn't it? You got to Antwerp November the 9th, from the looks of it.
Mm.
Now, there's a couple of rates. Just before we leave Lille, there's a couple you might remember. There's one where you cut the railway, but perhaps not. German headquarters, attack on the German headquarters at Rotterdam. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that. That's on the 24th of October. What do you remember of that?
It was a whole wing attack, four squadrons. And we had bombs. And we formed a sort of a decoy. But our particular squadron, we were a decoy, and we made it out as though we'd gone there to attack their electricity works, which is a power station, easy enough place to find. And the squadron behind us went to somewhere else over there, decoy. And the main attack was on, what do they call them? Not a country house in France. What do they call them?
Chateau.
Like that, a big house which the Germans had commandeered, and we tried to catch them when they were changing shifts. And the first four aircraft dropped low level high explosive bombs with a time delay on them, so that they all went off more or less together. And then two squadrons went in with rockets, and two squadrons then with 500-pound bombs. And we heard, before we got back and landed, how many people had been killed, you know. It was a great success as far as we were concerned.